You please turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, that's right about the middle of your Bible. And I want to talk about renewing your hope. This will be our last message of this year. Well, I guess we'll have a small message tomorrow night, but our last Sunday message. And I just want to continue that theme of hope and get that into our beings and into our hearts. So Psalm 78, 1 to 8 should be on the screen. I think we got everything up there. Yep, we did. So it says, O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known. Stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob, he gave his instructions to Israel, he commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children, so each generation should set its hope anew on God. Not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands, then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Father, I thank you for your word this morning, and I just pray that, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, what we need to hear today. Lord, there's many words that will be spoken, but I pray that, Lord, the words that are for each one of us as individuals, that, Lord, those are the words that we'll really hear, that your spirit would quicken them to our understanding and to our minds, and that we would know this is the Lord that is speaking to us, not just a minister, not just reading the scriptures, but that, Lord, that you would speak through these scriptures, through my voice today, to touch each one in this place. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I want to share with you about renewing your hope, making a fresh decision to serve the Lord and put your hope in God again. We see this very big words up here, and they say hope. But a question to ask ourselves is, Jesus our hope? Are we trusting in him? Are we relying on him? Because that's what hope is about. Are you trusting in him? Are you relying on him? Is your confidence in Jesus Christ? See, those are things that are very important for us to realize and take note of in our own lives. Do we have that confident expectation that, of course, yes, he's our living hope. He's real. God's real. He's alive. God has more for us. See, God wants to be involved more in our lives. He wants to bring that excitement level up within us. He wants to help us in our journey of life. He wants us to have a more vibrant faith. He wants us to be prepared for heaven. We're about to start a new year, and New Year's always seems to be that time where people, you know, kind of make New Year's resolutions. Well, we kind of make some choices. Now, unfortunately, as you read the stats about that, most New Year's resolutions never pass New Year's Day. That's the majority. But as a Christian, I think our resolutions need to last a lot more than a day. I think it should last the whole year, that we resolve within ourselves to say, I'm going to put my hope in God again. My hope's going to be there. I'm going to really focus on God. And as we come into this new year, maybe we need to ask some questions in our lives and ask ourselves, have we been faithful to our God? Have we been trusting our God? And I know lots of times we say that very quick. Oh, I trust the Lord, yes. And then you just think about that for a moment, and you can realize that that's not always the case. Sometimes worry gets in there. Sometimes stress gets in there, and we're not really hoping in God. We're kind of changing that focus back upon ourselves and our problems. Have we been serving the Lord? Have we been obedient to the Lord? Have we been excited about the things of God? Is there a passion in our hearts for God? Are we involved in his work? Are we supporting his work physically, prayerfully, financially? Or have we fallen away Have we grown cold in our walk with God? Have we even gotten that place where church isn't important anymore to us? The Bible asks us our question, are you hot or are you cold? Because there's really, as far as God is concerned, that's the only two conditions that there really are. There's no such thing as being lukewarm. God doesn't accept that you're either hot for him or you're cold for him. And I really believe as we start this new year that God is looking for a deeper commitment and a level of consecration from his people. And I don't believe that just for our own church, but I believe for every church, for the body of Christ. I believe that we're entering into a serious time in our world, in our nation, in our province, and in our community. We're entering into serious times in the church. The Lord is coming back for a glorious and prepared church. God is looking for those who are truly seeking after him and who want more of him. God is truly looking for people who would say, my hope is in him. And as we look all around us and look at the things in these last few years and facing the battles that we have faced in the society, the things that are going on in our society, are we still hoping in God? Are we still hoping in him? Because I really believe we're entering into a serious time. He's coming back for a prepared church. He's looking for those who would truly seek him and that would people who would frown on lukewarm Christianity. I really believe that sin that has been tolerated in our churches, that God's not going to tolerate that anymore. And I really believe that there's going to be judgment coming. The Bible says judgment will come first for the church, then for the world. And I really believe God is getting his church ready for his coming. You know, and this is something that God reminds us throughout history, throughout Scripture, that we need to make sure that we are in a right standing with God. To be in that place where we truly can say, yes, my hope is in the Lord. That's who I'm trusting. That's who I'm looking to. And I really believe God wants us to get back to that place where we're serious about the things of God and where our heart gets stirred up before the things of God. See, there's a history lesson in this psalm. If we took the time to read the whole psalm, it's talking about Israel. And it's talking about that the story of Israel is there for us that we might learn from the mistakes that Israel made, that we might not make those same mistakes. And yet, as you read those scriptures time and time and time again, we don't learn from history. We keep making the same mistake time and time again. And that's why God addresses the people of Israel, and he tells them here in a key verse, Psalm 78:7, so each generation should set its hope anew on God. See, God realizes that life has a way of draining you sometimes. Life has a way of causing you to drift away from God or be far from God. And so God reminds us that each generation really needs to seriously look at themselves and set their hope anew on God. And I think as we come to this new year, that's what I think God wants us to do, to really seriously look at ourselves and say, my hope is on the Lord. And if it's kind of got pushed away, that we're going to say, no, it's going to be in the forefront. It's going to be in big block letters in my life this year as we come in 2019. See, God is still desiring to do good things in our midst. The promises that have been spoken over this church are still in effect. And they will happen. But God is looking for people to walk with him and who will continue to put their hope in him. And so I want to encourage you today as we approach this new year to take the challenge of looking at your faith, looking at your hope, and renewing that hope in God. Renewing that hope in others, in the body of Christ. Renewing that hope in your church. Because God's got some good things in store for his church. So this morning, I just want to take this psalm and just look at a few points here this morning of where God is speaking to us and talking to us about how to renew that hope. How do you renew that hope that it might be back to the place where it needs to be? Well, the first way this author of Psalm 78, he reminds us of in renewing our hope and our faith in God is to take time to remember stories of faith. So Psalm 78, 2-3, it says, "For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us." Now, there's a lot of stories out there of God's work in the lives of many people. Thousands and thousands and thousands of books have been written by people sharing their stories of what God has done in their lives. And then we have the Bible, which is a compilation of all kinds of stories of where God has moved in our human history. Lots of stories. Stories that we've heard. Stories that we know that encourage us in the ways of God. And that's what God's trying to tell us, that there's a lot of stories out there. You need to be reminded of those stories of faith and hope in God that you might encourage yourself to say, I'm going to keep my hope there. I want to keep trusting in Jesus. Now, some of us here today, you've been Christian for a long time, basically since you're pretty much a baby or as a child. And your family has been Christians, and your grandparents have been Christians, and maybe you might even be further beyond that where your family line is just filled with Christians. And if that be your case, you are truly, truly blessed to have that heritage, to have that blessing in your life where you can talk about your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents that all served the Lord. And there's all those stories that come from your grandparents and from your parents that can encourage you and strengthen you. That's one of the things I used to love when I, as a kid, going over to my relative's place, and my dad and them, they'd get talking. And they start talking about a lot of stories back into their childhood sometimes. And I used to just love sitting there and listen to them laugh and joke around and talk about some of the things that happened in their past. And then as well to talk about things that happened as they were Christians. The battles that they faced, the things that they went through. You know, we always laugh about, you know, our parents or our grandparents telling us about, you know, how hard it was when they were growing up, that, you know, when they went to school, they had to walk 4 miles uphill and then 4 miles uphill to go back home, and didn't matter how cold it was. Well, there was a lot of truth to that. There really was. And even the church, where they used to get, you know, listen to my grandparents talk about getting the horse team out and getting the sleigh out and heating up some rocks and putting some rocks into the sleigh and getting the big blankets out so they could go to church and those hot rocks to try to keep them a little bit warm on their way to church. It wasn't really that long ago. But there's all kinds of stories about faith that should encourage us. Stories about healing, stories about miracles that we receive from our parents and our grandparents that should encourage us to continue to have our hope in God. So if you grew up with all of that, let me tell you, you are truly, truly blessed. Christian heritage is a beautiful blessing to have in our lives. But maybe you're also here today and you would say, that is totally foreign to me, Pastor. None of my parents served the Lord. Nobody in my family served the Lord. Nobody even talked about God except in swear words. That may be your story. But friends, as you start out in the journey of faith, you need to realize you're establishing a Christian heritage now for your children and your children's children and your children's children after that. You're starting a whole new line of people. And that's a beautiful thing to say that, man, we're starting a new Christian heritage now. Things are going to change in our family line. There's going to be blessings that are going to come in our family line because of all of this. And you need to start telling your stories of faith. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to hear stories of faith. I like hearing stories of faith, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago. I love reading books that talk about Christianity throughout the ages. I love reading books about revival and things that have happened throughout the ages. But I want to tell you something. The most encouraging story I like to hear is a story that happened today. What's God doing in my life today? And for many of you that maybe you don't have a big Christian heritage, but you got something that's starting today. And let me tell you, that is the most exciting story to hear. What God is doing this very day. So don't be shy that if you're just starting out in the faith, you got some great stories. We want to hear those stories. We really do. Please email us your stories. Please talk to us and share those stories of faith. They really are encouraging us, and they help all of us to continue to have our hope in God. But we also have another wonderful book, our Bibles. This morning I got the electronic Bible up here. I got lots of the other ones as well, and in my devotional time, I still like using my real, I kind of call it my real Bible, but doesn't matter if it's a digital one or not, but I kind of like having the real one there. And I just like reading through that and making notes from that and stuff like that. But you know, our Bibles, they're there for a purpose. We're supposed to read them. They're not just there to put them on our shelf to look real pretty or put them on a counter to look impressive. We're to read them because they're filled with stories of faith and encouragement, filled with stories of hope that as we read those, our hope begins to increase. I've told you before, I love to read the book of Psalms. Anytime I get discouraged, I go right back in the book of Psalms, because the book of Psalms, I just find, brings so much hope back into your life as you read those stories. The Word of God, it's powerful. It's powerful. We need to read it. We need to look to it. You know, why are Christians discouraged today? Why are they lacking hope? I want to tell you, one of the big reasons, they don't spend time in the Word of God. They're not looking to the Scriptures. They're not, you know, fulfilling themselves or eating some food that's actually going to strengthen them. It's like you're going on a diet and you have nothing in your diet, and so you just keep getting weaker and weaker and weaker. The Word of God is your food. Start reading it. Start talking about the stories. They're in the Word of God. It's one of the important ways to renew our hope. Remembering our stories of faith and hope. There's wonderful stories there. And then secondly, it goes right along with this. And renewing our hope and faith in God, we need to not just remember the stories, but share the stories. Share your stories of faith and hope in God. You can't keep that silent. I know as Canadians, a lot of times we're very private. And we need to break that and start telling people but all the good things that Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. They need to hear. Psalm 78, 4 to 6, it says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they, in turn, will teach their own children." See, we need to share those stories of hope and of faith. And I know sometimes, you know, we're kind of a private people, and we don't always like to say everything is going on in our lives, but we need to share our stories. You need to tell your stories of what's going on. You need to talk about those victories. You need to talk about sometimes even the hardships that you went through, but that even though you went through it, you went through. You came out the other side. Because there's other people that are going through things in their lives where they're wondering, will I ever make it? Will I ever get to the other side? But when they start hearing stories of faith and of hope that come from you, they're going to be encouraged to say, if it happened for them, then it can happen for me too. And God can do it. This is something that's very important. And God is reminding us here that it's not just something that's important. It's a responsibility that we have towards our children and towards the next generation, so that they may also serve the Lord and that they also might put their hope in God. You need to tell your stories to your family. You need to tell the stories to your next generation. And sometimes as parents, as adults, we forget this obligation that we're to train up children in the ways of God. And that is a commandment from God. It's not something that should be considered optional. It's a commandment from God. It's a responsibility of every parent. Every parent must do their due diligence in this matter, telling their children, and if your grandparents, telling your children's children, telling the next generation of what God has done. Even the Bible says here, speaking to that child that's still in the womb, the child that's not yet born, you start speaking to that child while it's in the womb. You start giving the message that there's hope in God, that there's a Savior, there's a God. As parents, we must share the stories of our faith. We must teach our children the ways of God. And again, one of the biggest reasons why our next generation is falling away from God, their parents didn't talk about it. They didn't hear it from their parents. They didn't see it in action in their parents. Parents, we really need to make sure that we're training up the next generation to serve the Lord. We need to be careful of, you know, especially in our world today, that we involve our kids in so many areas today. That's not always a good thing. We need to be careful because there's an area that we need to train our children in, first and foremost, is in the things of God. That's the first and most important. Sometimes we get that reverse and we train them in everything else. And then when they get to those older years, they walk away from God. They go to university and they walk away. Christopher was sharing with you about how often he would see that when he was being kind of like a chaplain, a missionary to the university students. So many Christian kids falling away from God. Sometimes it's because we as adults and as parents have not taken seriously our job to train up our children in the ways of God. The history of the Israelites kind of shows us the devastation that can happen to that next generation when they don't fulfill their God-given responsibility of training their children in the faith. And as you look at the history of Israel, you see them up, and then you see them down. You see them up, you see them down. Then there's a period where they're just down for a long time, and destruction and judgment and all these things happen, and then renewal happens again. But if they had stayed faithful to the task of raising their children and telling the stories and sharing the stories, many of the children forgot that Israel walked across the Red Sea. And it did happen. Even today, they're finding archaeology proving that, man, there's lots of things down there in that ocean that they're finding that, yeah, that did happen. There's markings talking about where it took place and what happened. See, the Bible says, train up a child in the ways of God, and when they're old, they won't forget. Maybe you're here today and you've done that, but your child has chosen to walk away from God. Well, our responsibility is to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Their responsibility then becomes to make their choice to serve the Lord. You can't make your grown children serve God or not serve God, but while they're young, you're the parent. You're in control. You guide, you lead them, you do the best you can. And that's all God asks us to do. Our job is to do the best we can to raise your children. Then when they become adults, that's their responsibility. But still, keep sharing the stories. Keep sharing the stories. We need to do our part. So very important, and something that we cannot afford to neglect. We really do need to reach the next generation. And I know that's not always easy, doing that. Every generation likes doing things differently. And so as we get older, sometimes it gets a little bit harder to put up with some of the things of that next generation. But we got to stay there to be encouragers. It's not a time where some people go, you know what, I want to go back to the old ways and do things like we did in the old ways. What do you think is going to happen to your kids? They're going to walk away. Let Christopher talk to you. He'll tell you, but that's exactly what happens at university. They walk away. We need to be paying attention as a church what this next generation is already wanting, to try to do our best that we can to reach out to them and share our stories with them and show them the ways of God. And we're trying to do that as a church. We really are. And then thirdly, in renewing your hope, you need to take steps to refresh your hope. To keep your faith and hope alive, you need to keep working at it. See, you have a responsibility to keep your hope alive. Back to Psalm 78:7, we said that in our introduction. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. See, it's our responsibility as individuals to make sure our hope is in God. The church, it's not the church's responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's your responsibility to make sure you're in a right standing with God. Do we have a part in that? Sure, we have a part in that, but it comes down to you making that choice. See, we need to get determined about our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ. We need to purposely work at it. You want to keep your Christianity fresh, working at it so it feels like it's just like it's all new again. That's why I like being around new believers. And they start sharing their story about coming to Christ. And to me, what that does for me, that's like, man, it's just like all over again. Just new all over again. Love those stories. They're wonderful stories. Don't be shy about them. They're great. But I have a responsibility and you have a responsibility to work on your faith and your hope in God. And I know we can blame this situation, that situation, all those kinds of things, but when it really gets down to it, it's about your responsibility. It's about you making sure that your hope stays in God. So put effort into it. You can't grow as a Christian without putting effort into your walk with God. We need to make that fresh commitment, get back to that place where we're hungry for more of God. We need to get back to that place where we're willing to do anything for God. Get your joy back. That's your job to get it back. You got to get that joy back. Right? You just have a joy of serving God. You want more of God. I don't know how people go on in their lives as Christians and just, you know, kind of give up and, oh, I don't need church. I don't need this. And I don't need that. Oh, you don't need this. I just want more of God. Like, I don't know what you're talking about because I want more of God. And then when I go to church, I sense his presence. I'm glad to be with the people of God because the people of God are encouraging, they're strengthening. I love going to church. I love being around God's people. I love to spend time in prayer because as I spend time in prayer, God speaks to me and I feel comfort, I feel strength when I take time to get into the Word of God. I love reading the Word of God because the Word of God speaks to me. Wonderful ways. I want more. I'm not satisfied with what I have. Man, I want more because I know God's a big God. And he has far more for me, for you, for this community, for this area. And that's what I want to keep chasing after. Keep chasing after God. Don't allow circumstance. Don't allow people to rob you of your hope. And if you're here today, maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you've become cold or indifferent, then recognize it and get serious about God again. Take a serious step back towards God and recognizing that, you know, that you have fallen away. The process all begins by the Lord saying, remember what the Lord has done. Remember the miracles. You need to do that. You need to look back in your life and see where you were before. And to realize how much Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life. You need to go back to when you became a Christian and looked at your life and where it was going. Because see, what happens is we sometimes come into Christianity and then we slowly drop out of Christianity. Because we forget. We forget what we came from. We forget that we had problems. We forget that we have difficulties. And the lure of the world begins to become big in our faces again, and we go back, not learning from our past at all. We need to work at it. There's also, the Bible points out here, that you need to look at this issue of obedience. See, God expects us to be obedient to his word. And that's something where we need to really shake ourselves and wake ourselves up and realize, you know, where we are with God. Where are we at with God in concerning obedience? Have you been doing those things that God's been laying on your heart to do? Because if you haven't, that's called disobedience. It's not a good thing. See, so many Christians today are ignoring issues of disobedience today. They're deceiving themselves that, you know, it's okay. It doesn't really matter. And then you're wondering, well, how come I'm not passionate about God? How come I don't even want to be in church today? How come I don't want to do anything with other Christians? It usually goes back to you forgot what God did in your life. You forgot to stay obedient to God. That you know what God says is right, and you're choosing not to do that which you know is right. That's a bad place to be when you're doing things that are wrong and you know that they're wrong. There's one thing to do things wrong and you're not aware they were wrong. That's one thing. But when you know right from wrong and you still choose to do it as a Christian, then that's a bad place to be. Because now is the time to deal with it. Now is the time to deal with disobedience. Because I'm telling you, the day of God's judgment is coming soon. And a day is coming where God's going to say, enough's enough. So we need to get back to that place of obedience so that our hope is renewed. To make a commitment to God, to set our heart once again of placing our faith and our hope in God. Because there is no other way. There is no other way to heaven. Friends, we know that. Then why would we dare look somewhere else when we know that our only hope is Jesus Christ? So God is saying to us today that it's time to renew our hope in him and serve him. Time is getting short. And yes, I do. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, just like it says in the Bible and throughout the scriptures. Your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. It really is time to set your hope on God alone and get back to that place where your faith is fresh and vibrant once again. Work at reestablishing your hope as if it was all new again. Set your hope anew today. Then lastly, in renewing your hope and faith, you need to give your heart to God. All of it. That's another big problem in Christianity. We just give God 50%, 70%, 80%. God wants all of our heart. See, the very first commandment is to love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Let's not forget the word all is in there. 50% Christianity doesn't work. 90% Christianity doesn't work. 99% Christianity doesn't work. It has to be 100%. Give your all to God. Give our hearts fully to the Lord. And it will help us greatly to keep our hope in him. It will help us greatly that we don't fall away from God and that we don't lose our hope. As we give our hearts to God, it will help us to avoid traps such as stubbornness and rebellion. Psalm 78:8, it says, then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. You don't want to fall in that place where you start refusing God. And God is speaking to you, God is dealing with you, and you just say, no, I'm not listening. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to respond. That is a very serious position to place yourself in. See, there's no place for stubbornness, no place for rebellion in the kingdom of God, because those qualities will quickly lead you down a destructive and deceptive path that will lead you to unfaithfulness and refusal to do what God asks you to do, refusal to do what you know is right. So be very careful going down this road, because I'm going to tell you something. You'll be given only a certain time to repent, and then judgment will come. Read the first few chapters of the book of Revelations. It's addressing the church. Jesus is addressing the church of the day. And he's speaking to the church of the day, and he tells them in those passages of Scripture that a time will be given for the church to repent. And if they choose not to, then judgment will come. I don't want to experience the judgment of God. I want to experience the blessings of God that he has for us. But if I start getting stubborn and get rebellious and I refuse to do what God is telling me to do, then this is the path that I'll be taking, judgment. Deal with stubbornness quickly. Deal with rebellion quickly, because the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It is very, very serious with eternal consequences. All you got to do is look at the history of Israel. How they would rebel against God, they'd get stubborn against God, and what would happen? Judgment would happen. Just because we're in the New Testament doesn't mean that judgments don't still happen. There's lots of judgments that you will read about in the New Testament. They do happen. So we want to deal with those things quickly, because they do have eternal consequences. You read the scripture where Jesus says in Matthew, there'll be people that will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, like, hey, Jesus, you're my buddy, and you're a wonderful God. Yeah, here I am, I'm at heaven's gates. I'm looking to go in. And what does Jesus say? Depart from me. I never knew you. How could that be possible? Well, Lord, I attended church, and Lord, I led people to Christ. Lord, I did this and this and this. And the Lord looks at him and says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Why would you say that? Because Christians got stubborn, rebellious. They start walking away from God and doing things that God told them to do, and they refuse to do them. Do you still think you're going to make it? There's a lot of verses out there to say you're not. So you got to be careful going down that road. You don't play games with God. You don't play games with eternity. When you come back to that place where, Lord, I give you my whole life. Not my will, that's right in the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but your will be done. So much today about my rights. Jesus tells us, lay down your rights and serve me. Serve me wholeheartedly. And I will bless you. I will strengthen you. I will bring blessings and multiply things in your life for the better. But you got to give me your whole life. Friends, it's New Year's. It's also decision time. Choose you this day who you will serve. If it's the Lord, then serve him with all your heart. 50%, 70%, 80%, 90%. It's not good. You got to give it all. Give it all. So in closing, we've talked about hope throughout this whole month, and I hope we've inspired you to look and really see if Jesus, is he still your hope? For what you're going through right now, is Jesus still your hope? Are you trusting in him? Are you relying on him? Or have you succumbed to worry? Have you succumbed to stress? Have you succumbed to the circumstances that are surrounding you? That you kind of lost it. God's telling us today, put your hope back in me. I got good things in store for you. I got great things in store for you. I got things that are far greater than what you ever imagined or thought would take place. Don't give up on those dreams. Don't give up on those words that have been spoken over you. Keep your hope in him. Keep your hope in him. So it's time to remind ourselves. Stories of faith. Tell your stories. Go back to your history. Look what the Lord has done. Look how he has touched people and moved in the lives of people throughout the ages. It will encourage you to put your hope in God. Look back to yourself. Where you've been with God. Where you were before you came to God. What was going on in your life? It was a mess. So many people just come to God for a quick fix and then go right back to doing what they were doing. When God fixes your life, it's meant that you continue that change. You don't go back. You always keep going forward. When Christians go and say, you know what, I want to go back and do a lot of the things I used to do before, like church said they were bad, and I think there's nothing wrong with those things, so I'm going to go back and do those things. You're going in the wrong direction, my friend. You keep going forward. You don't go backwards. You learn from the past so you don't make the same mistakes. So remind yourself of those stories. Remind yourself of your responsibility as an adult, as a teenager, as a parent, because there's always somebody younger than you. They're looking up to you. They're looking to you to see your stories. They're looking to you how you live your life. And as they look at you, they're going to base their Christianity on what they have seen in you. That's an important responsibility. As parents, we got a responsibility to train up our children in the ways of God. Priority number one ends right there. Priority number one. It's time to deal seriously and quickly with anything in our lives that's keeping us away from an fresh experience with God. See, God, a relationship with God should lead you to an experience with God that's fresh on a daily basis. His mercies, the Bible says, are new every morning. You can mess up one day, but you know what? You repent of that. You say, God, I'm sorry, and his mercies are new. Fresh start again. Wonderful. God's got good things, fresh things for you every day. Let's keep seeking that. I want to stay in that realm where I feel a freshness in my experience with God. And then lastly, let's deal with any area of stubbornness, rebellion, refusal. When God speaks, we need to be obedient. We really do. And if we're not obeying what God has told us clearly to do, and we know it's wrong, then you're putting yourself in a place with eternal consequences. Very serious. Get your hope back in God. Each generation, Psalm 78:7, should set its hope anew on God. That's where it needs to be. I need to keep bringing myself back to the place. God, I'm going to put my hope in you. But Lord, this thing hasn't been working out. And Lord, I've been struggling in this area. Lord, it's been really, really difficult. I don't understand. And that's right. Lots of times we don't understand why we go through some things. But I got to keep coming back and say, my hope is in you. I may not have all the answers. I may not do everything right, but I need to bring myself back and say, I will hope in you, God. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rely upon you. Because if we're really honest, sometimes we're not relying on God. We're relying on our own abilities of what we can do and what we can, how we can change a situation. Hope thou in God. Soul, hey, hope thou in God. Whatever you might be going through today, difficult or hard as it might be, put your hope in God. Get it renewed. Don't leave this place without being able to say, I got my focus back. I got my focus back. I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to trust in Him. I'm going to put my reliance upon Him. And as I do, I know that God's going to bless. God's going to encourage. God's going to strengthen. So as we close here this morning, they're just going to turn on some music up there. And if you're here today and maybe you're going through a terrible mess or something that's hard or difficult, and I know there's lots of things going on in our world right now. There's so much going on in our own communities. There's hardships out there. There's so much going on. Well, we'd be very happy to pray with you and try to encourage you and tell you a story of faith. Tell you something that will encourage you and strengthen you. Kind of get your place where you get your hope renewed. Hope renewed. God wants you to have hope. God doesn't want you to live in despair. God doesn't want you to live in fear and worry. God doesn't want to live you, for you to live in stress. He wants you to live with an expectation of hope that which you're really desiring will indeed take place, that a change will indeed happen. Even though it might be delayed, it can still happen because I'm hoping in Him, not just in myself or circumstances that are around me. Amen. So as we close this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand.